Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
You are listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBTQ stories. I am your curator, Keris Bradley. Welcome to The Coming Out Tapes. Today I'm joined by Toby. Toby, could you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Thank you for having me. I'm Toby. I'm 25. I'm a trans man, so
You're
I use
25?
He. Yeah.
That's the same age as me.
Ah, well, we all look really young, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
All of us look like twinks until, you know, a little while on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Just got excited.
I am into some trans activism. I do some like campaigns against the media, particularly. I did a TED talk on trans healthcare, and that was how I came out to my mum.
Well, that sounds like an interesting story that we are going to get to in about 5 to 10 minutes. So you identify as a trans man?
Yes.
How do you describe your sexuality?
I say I'm bi, but I have been attracted to men, women and other people. But I think that I find pan really annoying sometimes, and I find the way that people respond to the word pan quite irritating sometimes. They sort of, there's that silly Tumblr post. Have you ever seen the silly Tumblr post that says, goes like heterosexuality is if you find like the opposite gender in somebody's pants and it's all about what's in people's pants, which is rubbish anyway, then you're all good. And then like, you know, homosexuality is finding the same thing as in your pants, in their pants. And then pansexuality was like, if you find an alligator there, you're okay. And I was like, that's not me. But also, that's not a description of anybody. Unless, you know, that was your kink. I wouldn't ever judge. I would judge some people, but not the alligator one. That seems like a, you know.
I think if it's a live alligator, I would have some questions.
I think that it's so unlikely that it's a harmless fantasy.
Okay, so you identify as bisexual.
Yes.
And when did you first realise that you were bisexual, and when did you first start to... When did you identify as a man?
To other people.
To yourself?
So when I was... So we'll do the trans stuff later because it's more complex. I think in about 2010, so I would have been just around 18, I saw Janelle Monáe. And that was like... Actually, when Corinne Bailey Rae had that single, the Just Like a Star, she had really nice shoulders, and that was how I knew that I liked some women. But I was like, I'd really like to kiss her, and I didn't really think about it further than that. And then Janelle Monáe came out with a Tightrope, and I was like, damn, I'd marry her. And, you know, that was how I knew I was attracted to women. But I have described myself as straight as an arrow before in my adolescence. And people will find that amusing, hopefully, later.
So it's specifically like it was celebrities that were like eye-opening moments as opposed to people that you knew?
Yeah, my first kiss with a woman, I bit her by accident not in a sexy way. It was a New Year's Eve kiss, and she really went for it, and I had not anticipated that coming. And I bit her. And then I apologised, but instead of apologising for not being interested in her, I apologised for biting her, and so she went in again. I was like, I didn't like her. So, I wasn't, there wasn't a good pool at my school of people to fancy.
Okay. And then in terms of coming out to yourself as transgender, when did that happen?
In terms of understanding, thinking that I wasn't a girl, quite young, so sort of pre-puberty, I had a few sort of daydreams and fantasies, identities of like playground characters that you do. So I had a Pokemon character that I played every break time, and I made people call me Rick at primary school. But it wasn't like spreading out into my real life. It was just with this particular group of friends and, you know, a role I was playing. But I didn't know anything about trans people then. I think I saw Hayley Williams on Coronation Street. But I didn't really have anything. I didn't have like a revelation about that. I just remember it. And then when I met my partner, who is also trans, I started to think much more critically about gender in general and sort of started to question the things that I thought about women. Trying to work out the difference between the things I found dysphoric about my body and myself and things that I, you know, didn't identify with about womanness, and then like working out that some of that was internalized misogyny, but then some of that was dysphoria. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that explains why I'm so weird around women. And then I got much better about it when I started talking to my partner about it.
I was going to say, is this a conversation that you had to have just in your head?
Yeah.
Is that...
There was a moment when my boyfriend told me that clothes don't have gender, and I remember, like, properly, like, galaxy brain stuff happening to me. I was like, wow. Oh, my God. Dresses don't have gender? And they don't. They don't.
So what? How did that affect the relationship that you had with your gender identity?
So first I started exploring, and then I realised that, like, I used to get so tense in shopping centres and stuff just because, you know, I associated it with, like, having to especially conform to something that I didn't feel was right. And then, and I was also attracted to men, so... you know, primarily. So I was trying very hard to fit the straight woman type things. And as a gay man, that's quite a different, like, thing. or a bi man. But yeah.
So do you think that you would be able to articulate now the difference between the gender dysphoria and the issues that you had with womanness?
I think that a lot of the ways that I was trying to present myself, because I wasn't aware that man was available, I instead went for the next best thing, which was not like other girls. So in order to disqualify myself from womanness, I tried to put down all the other people who are women, which isn't cool and isn't nice. It attributes to some, like, really weird opinions that even cis women I know still have. But, once I'd worked out, like, actually that was all bullshit, it was much easier to be like, oh, I can be a feminist man, and that's so much better.
Do you remember, like, when that kind of revelation happened?
No. Sorry. In the last, like, 3 years or so. It's very much, like, I think that I'd be very cautious to suggest that there was like this precipice that I went over where I suddenly became a really good feminist from being really internally misogynistic. I think it's a learning curve, and I'm still like on it and stuff. You know, I still have conversations with a few of my friends, and they're like, "Could you not actually do that one?" Especially transitioning like now with cis friends, like cis women friends' behaviour to me is slightly different because, like, it's very much more real, and like other people's behaviour to me has changed since I've been on testosterone. So now I have to be a little bit more careful, I think. And I did before, but I think I have good enough friends that they can call me out on that.
Do you think that that is important in terms of your relationship with your gender identity, that people are calling you out?
Yes. I mean, I don't think it's specifically about my gender identity. It's about my identity as a person. I want to be a good person. You know, if I'm going to be a man, I don't want to be a shitty man.
We have enough of those.
Yes. Yeah, we don't need any more, like, converts to the cause.
Do you remember the first time that you said, like, out loud that you were a man?
I think I do. Yeah, it was another shopping centre experience, and I had a really nice shopping experience, and I went to the men's side because I'd had this like almost trans workshop with my partner where he was like, "This doesn't have gender, this doesn't have gender," and he was like pointing around at his wardrobe being like, "This, no gender." I went to the shops and I went like exclusively to the men's side of the things, and I was like, "I'm not..." Because at the time, my partner identified in a more non-binary kind of a way. I was like, "That's actually not me. I'm not, like, I'm not non-binary. Like, I really, really strongly identify with all the man things. Apart from, like, grossness. You know, rape culture. Those aren't things I identify with." Yeah, like it was all the, you know, the clothes and stuff, and I sat in a Westfields and ate a cinnamon and sugar pretzel, and said that out loud to myself and had a little cry. That was about 4 years ago.
It's a good level of detail.
Well, you asked me about something I hadn't thought about for a long time, and then, you know, I had the whole picture in my head.
So when did you first come out to someone else, and who was it to?
That was to Jack, my partner. Mainly because I didn't want him to think that I was copying him. I genuinely was like, you know, we were quite early in a relationship, and I remember being worried that, you know, we were at the point where we started dressing alike or having similar haircuts and things like that just by coincidence.
Natural.
Yeah, and just natural affinity and stuff. And I was really worried that that he was going to think that I was going to be trans too, just to be like him. And he was like, "No, I knew, more or less, when I met you. Like, you were doing lots of egg things." Do you know what egg is?
I do not know what egg is.
Egg is a term that lots of trans people use to refer to people who have newly come out, and they have a lot of little egg cliches that they fit into. Lots of trans masculine people tend to like get particular haircuts and like wear particular shirts, and you can kind of spot them, I find.
Do you know where egg comes from?
I think it's a Tumblr term, to be honest.
Is that the image that you get before you have a profile picture?
Yes, but egg accounts, I think, are spam accounts in Twitter.
So
lingo.
It's a different thing.
Yes.
Right, okay.
I think though trans Twitter is really good, Twitter Tumblr, like, language, I think, probably came up with the trans lingo first.
Ah, okay. So you had the conversation with Jack, and your partner was just like, did not think you were copying me.
No, no. And also, yeah, there was a bit of relief. And also, he was never attracted to women, and had always been confused by why he was attracted to me. And then I came out, and he was like, "Ah, that makes so much more sense. Now I have that confirmation."
Amazing.
I mean, many people would count it as queer, though lots of people don't like the word. I don't like the word queer.
Okay, why don't you like the word queer?
Because it's what gets shouted at me and Jack on the street most frequently. I find it irritating that I find it irritating when people who I'm trying to find a way of saying this that isn't like dodgy, particularly people who pass as straight, and particularly more women at the moment are doing it, though it has been a thing that men were doing before, cis people. They are currently like using it as a way of not saying lesbian, and I find that really like homophobic. And then just lots of people assume that queer is the new LGBT. I don't think it is. I don't think, like, it's a synonym. I think it's, you have to sort of ask permission before you start calling somebody that. But I do think that it's applicable sometimes. And some, you know, when people use it as a label for themselves and they've thought about it, like, I'm not going to stop them, but, yeah.
I ask because, like, a lot of people that I interview on the show identify as queer. Like a disproportionate amount.
Really?
So it's been quite interesting listening to a lot of the different reasons why people use that word. So I use that word, mostly because I feel like it describes my gender more than my sexuality.
Oh, like genderqueer?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that I think genderqueer, like, as a term, I'm much less like, where it's more when people say queer and sometimes people put the stress on it in exactly the same way that straight people do. And it's strange, because they're using it like strange, like a synonym for strange. I find that, like, really... a interesting thing to identify with. But I do think that, like... it's very valid, and all the people that you interviewed were very valid. It's just...
it's one of those things where it's really difficult to articulate because so many people suffer such awful things because of it, and then so many people find so much power in it. And those
we have things like... we have...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A friend who uses it pronouns, and we find it, like, me and my partner find it very difficult to sort of interact with that person. We like very much, because it pronouns are just, it's like, I would like you to use this really humiliating, horrible word, but it is like something that I cannot separate from things that, I mean, friends of ours and us have experienced.
Yeah, I don't really have a segue to the next question, but I'm going to move on to the next question.
Yes, please do. I got into, like, territory where I found myself, like, being contentious.
No. So I think the way that the language within the community has evolved and who sees what as fitting them, like, really, really interesting. And I think it's really good that we've had this conversation because so many people have used the word queer to describe themselves on the podcast, but obviously lots of people do find it very uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting that you said that about particularly people are using it instead of the word lesbian.
Yes.
So I don't really like the word lesbian because that is the word that people have used, like, purposefully in order to make me feel uncomfortable. Mm. And so I find the word...
And it's misgendering, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then it's like, that's also like the insult that people used at school. And that's what people like say when...
But it is a term for a person. It's not an insult in itself. It's used as an insult. But
well, I mean, so like the history, like, of that word, it's like origin in like our culture was as a medical term. Like, it was very clinical. And if you were branded as a lesbian, that was like a diagnosis, and it was used to oppress a lot of women, both like violently and like emotionally. So I think that it does come from...
But it has like another, like it had another, like it's not like it had that history and now we're here. In the middle there was like a huge amount of women's rights campaigners, feminists of various waves. Like, I think that if you go right back to the diagnosis of what men called women, then you risk erasing lots and lots of women who do call themselves lesbians, who identify in that way. The first letter, for a reason, of the acronym we're also into. Oh, it's the Rainbow Month this year.
It is the Rainbow Month, yeah. Actually, I think we're 1 day over, 2 days over. Which Rainbow Month do you consider the...
I mean, there's lots of Pride events. There's Pride London is happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Coming.
It's
a horrible Pride.
But going back to the... lots of people have like campaigned and fought for that word. Like, do you not think the same thing about the word queer?
No, because I think that queer is more obviously a word that, I don't know, to me it's more obviously an insult, because, like, you know, like, I got shouted queer at me, like, yeah, I got shouted queer at me, like, last week, whereas lesbian, lots of people, I think far more people in the general LGBT community, including older people, would call themselves lesbians than queer. I think that, woman loving woman is a really good term. And men loving men, because I like that, because that encompasses all the people, regardless of whether bi or pan or gay or whatever or lesbian. I think that's an easier way of like categorizing people sometimes,
as opposed to reaching for queer in order to be inclusive.
Yes,
you are necessarily being...
Yeah, you're talking about the people who fuck a particular kind of people, rather than being like also, yeah, queer is like ideological almost as well. It's like an idea around. It's like they're strange. They dress. I don't know, I always imagine, like, Weimar Republic, Berlin, as, like... And, like, that's a very glamorous thing, and then you think, what happened? And then you think, oh, I don't know. I think it makes us sound more victims.
Okay. I haven't really thought about the word in that way.
I mean, have you ever been called queer? Like, in a
derogatory way?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, by, like, old men and stuff. I mean, like, people like, scream it out of their cars at me. Don't get me wrong, my partner, like, started up, he had to leave, but he started up, he had too many things on, the Queer Studies Network in Oxford. Like, I'm not entirely opposed to the word, I just, I think that sometimes, we can have, like, a cocooned kind of attitude towards the community where the younger people are in one camp and the older people are in the other camp.
I agree that the word can be damaging, and I definitely understand what you mean by the generational thing. So I don't tend to describe myself as queer if I'm in a room with people that, like, I think might be upset by that word.
I'm not accusing you of that.
But I, like, I guess the thing that I find a bit weird is that, or the thing that I disagree with, is the queer out of all of the other words, like, is somehow, like, much worse. So I understand what you mean about the pain that word can cause and how it can be weaponized, but I have experienced more conventional words being weaponized in different and also the same, like, ways.
If you said, if you were talking about, like, the word gay was used as a word for crap, it still is by some kids, but I would say that it's kind of been phased out a little bit, for a word for, you know, that's really gay, that's the other word would be lame, which is also a terrible word. But, like, people don't have the same response to the word gay that they do to the word lesbian. And I think that that's something, like, the idea around lesbians and the negative connotations with lesbians is something that's inherently misogynistic, and we need to, like, separate those things out.
But I think there's more than one reason to reject the word lesbian.
Oh yes, totally.
As a description of your identity.
Yes. Well, it doesn't apply to you, and people are using it in an insulting way.
But that's not the reason why I don't always feel comfortable identifying with that word. I feel uncomfortable identifying with that word because when I was at school, people used to call me a lesbian as if that was a bad thing.
But people called me a lesbian as if it was a bad thing.
Okay, but we've obviously reacted differently to that experience, and my reaction to that experience is that I don't want to use that word to describe my identity. And it's not because I reject the identity of lesbians. It is because that particular word for me, when I hear it, it's very difficult to disassociate the experiences that I had in secondary school when people were using that word. In the same way that when you hear the word queer, what you're also hearing is often the same tone and the same way of saying that word as people shouting out of cars.
Mm.
So I think that there are lots of reasons why you wouldn't want to use the word queer, but I think that about a lot of the words that we have within our vocabulary.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, there are people now reclaiming the word tranny and stuff like that. And, you know, I personally think that word's completely vulgar. But, like, I don't know. And, you know, you look at other minority communities and there are some people in every community who reclaim successfully or reclaim to an extent that it's at least a, you know, kind of a badge of honour. And I think that we're just not there yet with lots of ours. Because, you know, the AIDS crisis was 15 years ago. Like, you know, the reason we don't have as many elder sort of LGBT people to ask about these questions, you know, ask what they think, who are all the radical ones, died of AIDS. You know, or a huge amount of them did. And we're kind of a generation that doesn't have that kind of parental type generation above us to sort of confer and conspire and ask for advice and teach in the same way. We're very separated, I think, partly for that reason as well. Lots of, you know, I mean, most people are the children of heterosexual couples. We have to go out and find some gays or whatever in order to know what it's like to behave that way, to manifest gayness or transness or bi-ness or whatever. Anyway, we should move on.
Okay, I'm gonna clumsily move on to the next question, which is where are you out?
I am out everywhere. That one's an easy one.
Done. Okay, so you're out everywhere. Do you have any good stories that you'd like to share about coming out?
I came out to my brother and sister. So they're 11 years younger than me. So they're 14 now, but this was a couple of years ago. And they were both incredibly unaffected, unbothered. My sister was a little bit, not upset, but emotional when I changed my name, because my name was quite a nice name. But apart from that, they were both completely unfazed. They were eating cereal for breakfast, and I don't think my brother even paused. He was having Cheerios and just did not want them to get soggy and was like, uh-huh. And just, we moved on.
Can I ask you a question about your name?
Mm-hmm.
So you said that when you were in school, you had this character called Rick, or Ricky. Why is that not your name?
I think Rick rhymes with Dick.
Ah.
That is my belief.
Smart.
And also, my uncle is called Richard. And I wanted a more gentle name. When I was a kid, I wanted a much more sort of fierce name. And as I've grown up and mellowed, I've wanted to... Tobias is quite fierce, but Toby is soft. I think it's nice and gentle. And then my middle name's Robert Sinbad. Robert's after two gay artists who were both called Robert and were together for like 40 years, died in each other's arms. Very, very romantic story. And then Sinbad the Sailor, because I'm half Indian, Sinbad the Sailor crashes his ship, I think, 7 times, and then he always manages to make friends and get treasure and come back and have a great time. He seems to make the best of a bad thing, which I thought was very me.
So, final question. What does coming out mean to you?
I think the two different, they're very different. I think I'll be coming out as bi or gay for the rest of my life, but I think that when you're trans and you're binary and you pass, you reach a point where you can have a decision whether you can be stealth in future relationships or you can stay out. I want to be somebody who's in the media, and I think that for that reason, which is totally self-serving career bullshit, I would like to be out for the rest of my life and continue to come out. And, you know, when I really enjoy the idea. I haven't got to it yet because I look less manly than my voice is at the moment. But I like the idea of in a year or two's time being in a circle of people who don't know anything about me, and then they're bitching about trans people, and then I go, oh, did you know that you had one right here? So, you know, I don't want to come out every time I speak to somebody. I don't think anybody does, but I would like to be sort of not hiding it forever. And I think that that's what coming out is to me. But I also very much respect people who are stealth, who, you know, make a lot of effort to not be recognised as trans because it's so much safer, particularly trans women. I think that there are some trans men who they get to a point where they feel, shall we say, complete, having done the transition stuff that they want to do. And then they pass as a man and they just live life as a man and they never do any, like, stuff for other people again. And I really don't want to be one of those. I've met a few recently, like, moderate trans people. I didn't think that they existed. I thought you had to be kind of left-wing in order to, like, get to the point of considering transness. But that's not true at all, obviously. And, yeah, so I've met some horrible sexist men who are just... They've acquired their male privilege and then are just running off with it. They don't feel any debt or any sense of... like, I'm so painfully aware every time somebody who I know is sexist treats me better because they know I'm a man. Like, the same men at the bus stop who used to, like, make uncomfortable remarks about my ass or, you know, make me feel really scared for myself, and now putting their arm around me and, like, giving me advice about birds and asking me my opinion on football and stuff like that. It's really weird. And in that respect, I'd want to be out forever, because that means that you can keep being like, no, male privilege is real, because I remember when I didn't have it.
Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to me, Keris Bradley. I'd like to say a couple of thank yous to the other people who've worked on this project. So Alex Lathbridge, who has helped with the hosting of the podcast and also the compiling of the music that you've heard, and to Scary Boots for creating our incredible artwork. Please subscribe, review, tell your friends, spread the word. And if you want to get involved and be interviewed on the podcast, then there's a link on the website and in the bio of our Twitter. So there's a little form that you can fill out. I hope you have a lovely day.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.